Once again, it's time for Radio Bible Study. And we hope that you'll stay tuned to be with us as we study the book of James today. The program is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills, and your speaker is David Tant. We've been discussing in the fifth chapter of James, and we're ready now for verse 13, the paragraph going through verse 18. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open and to read together with me. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There are some interesting things in these verses as we come towards the close of our study of the book of James. Verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. The suffering, I think basically there would be of times of tribulation or trouble or turmoil within the life of the person, possibly a persecution. And God asks us to pray about this. I remember it in Paul's experience. As he was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him because of his honor that he'd been bestowed upon him, and we don't know what this thorn was or what his problem was in the flesh, but he prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord to remove whatever this affliction was. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning with verse 7, he said, "And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. Concerning this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he hath said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul acknowledged that the source of his strength was from the Lord. And so whether this be a physical sickness, or whether it be some emotional distress or persecution that we're undergoing, he said, pray about it, and God will help us and give us strength to endure. And then, is any cheerful? Well, share this. Let him sing praise, the expression of the gratitude and of the thanksgiving of our heart is to be expressed in this way. Then, verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And there's been a great deal of controversy and misunderstanding about the verse here. And I'm not sure that I understand everything that there is to know about the verse, but I believe that there are some conclusions that I can reach that I know are right with respect to this when I compare them with teachings in other places of the Word of God. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, some make this out to be a miraculous healing, and they go to this to prove or to show authority for those men and women who go about the countryside today conducting healing campaigns and things of this sort, where they attract great crowds of people by their reported miraculous cures. And frankly, I find nothing like that within this verse. My understanding is that this is talking about a prayer for the providence of God, not for a miraculous manifestation, but for the providence of God, coupled with an anointment of a medicinal oil. We know that many times, as we read in ancient history, As people were not acquainted with medicine and wonder drugs as we have today, and oftentimes oil was used by way of medicine as a healing. And I believe that's what it is here. If he's talking here about a miraculous healing, and we take this as an absolute pronouncement, then what you have here is that nobody would ever get sick or would ever die. How could any Christian have died who was in reach of elders who had this oil? If the elders could have cured everyone that got sick, certainly there would have been no one that would have died or lingered in sickness. And if that order, as taken that way, had become a perpetual order, then a Christian in reach of elders with oil would never die. And we, of course, know that that is not the case. Now, the Scripture, you know, whether it has application now or not, it had application, we know, in the days that it was written. But think with me, was there ever a time when Christians did not sicken and die, when Christians were not subject unto the infirmities of the flesh? But don't you see, if God had ordained that all the elders anointed with oil and those that they would pray over would recover, then why did not the elders cure everybody? Why would anyone die? Why would Epaphroditus come near unto death when he was ministering to Paul, Philippians 2 and verse 27. But we know that many people sickened and they died during the days of the apostles, even during the time when miracles were in effect. Therefore, I understand that James did not mean to say that all were cured or would be cured in this way at any time. No, this was not a miraculous cure. James is suggesting here that if a person who is sick would call for the elders of the church and that they would pray for them and anoint them with oil, that those who would be cured at all would be cured in this way. That is, this was the best system of treating illnesses and diseases that they had. And the same is true today. Whatever medical remedies we might have, when we couple this with the prayers of faithful Christians, certainly whatever cure is going to be effected would be brought about in this way. And somebody says, well, why call for the elders of the church? Well, the elders certainly had a spiritual leadership. And, you know, if I were sick and I wanted somebody to pray for me, I wouldn't want some hypocrite out here who came to church on Sunday and put on a pious face, but during the week lived like the world does. I wouldn't want him praying for me. His prayers aren't going to do much good. Who do I want? I want a righteous person. Well, as we study in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, the qualifications of elders, we see obviously that they are spiritual leaders. And certainly their prayers would have some meaning as it goes on down here. Later on, as we'll see later on, says that the prayer of the righteous man, isn't that what it says? The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. One reason that I have question with some of those today who claim to heal by the authority of this passage is that they are generally not elders of the church. They are preachers or evangelists who do this. And so their authority would not come from this verse, even if this did teach the matter of miraculous divine healing. But let them pray over this man, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. That is, if he's going to get well, then this prayer, coupled with medicinal remedies, will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. In the prayer, certainly, we should always pray for the forgiveness of our sins, that what we might be cleansed and purified. And therefore, if we have committed sins in this prayer, where we cover this, they shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. So here, we're all told to pray for one another, As we pray for the well-being of ourselves and of others, we often include in our prayers those who are ill, that if it be God's will, they might be restored to their health. That is not praying for a miracle. That is praying that in God's providence, and there is a difference, we're praying that in God's providence, a cure might be effected. We need to understand something about this, and we want to talk more about it in our study tomorrow, as to the nature of miraculous divine healing. There is so much controversy about that, and there is so much false teaching that is done today, and practices that are just not in keeping with the will of God. And we hope that you can be back with us tomorrow and study this matter with us, that we might have a better understanding of what miraculous healing is. This is Radio Bible Study, and this is David Tant speaking. The program is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills. If you have a question or a comment or suggestion, we'd be glad for you to call. You can call the church office here at 455-8412 and leave a message on the recorder, or you may call at my home at 992-2097, and we'd be glad to talk with you. Tune in tomorrow. Until then, good day.